Hello and welcome to Behind the Screams. As always, my name is Ian. This is episode number 57, and in today's show, we are talking about the 1974 movie, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And also in this show today, we are joined by Dave. How's it going, buddy?
Hello, chainsaws!
Hello, hello. How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, not bad, man.
Did it again?
No, you're just absolutely amazing at being really hype and then really chill like a second later.
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Just, you know, taking it easy.
Yeah,
watching some movies, playing some games.
It's been a hot minute since we've had you on doing a regular episode.
I know, man, I haven't spoken to you in ages.
Yeah, we didn't just record an episode 10 minutes ago.
Absolutely not.
No.
It didn't happen. No.
I mean, the last time we had you on, we were doing top 5 horror video games. I can't even remember. I mean, we obviously had... The 50th episode would have been the last one we had you on.
Yeah, there was the 50th episode. You know, still recovering from all the stress pain in my spine from that.
It was a stressful evening. And I mean, I think it was a stressful evening. And I wasn't even in charge of making sure everything worked, so...
It really wasn't that stressful. I did... all the preparation before.
You made me feel so bad on the night.
Why?
You're telling me how stressful it was.
I didn't say that. I said I was shitting my pants because they all came down to my internet connection in the end.
You did a fantastic job. So, but anyways, we'll talk a bit more in a little second. Don't forget, you can find this show you can find this show on all major podcasting platforms. Find us on Twitter at Screams Behind, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search for Behind the Screams Podcast. Don't forget, we also now have a Patreon. You can subscribe to us on there from as little as £1 a month, and the perks across the tiers range from everything from shout-outs to special bonus episodes, which are now 4, or there should be more of that, actually. By the time this episode is released, there'll be a lot more up there on as well, and you can actually, I think, at the top tier, appear on the show as a guest. So I'm still waiting for my fee from Dave, but it's cool. I think we'll give him we'll give him mates rates on this one. Please do go and consider subscribing to the Patreon. It's a really good way of keeping the lights on the show and showing us some love at the same time. Dave, actually, something I didn't ask you when we recorded the last episode. Do you want to quickly just plug your streams? Plug your Twitch?
Play games.
He played games.
No, I've been going pretty hard in the paint onto Twitch at the moment. Really, really having a good time there. Just on twitch.tv/Wookie606. Playing a big variety of stuff. Unfortunately, mainly Zelda, so a lot of you guys might not enjoy that. But, you know, there's other things happening that you might enjoy a bit more.
Well, I can tell you that I've watched some of his Zelda streams, and I greatly enjoyed it, so...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's very nice of you.
I know, I'm a nice boy, really. I also want to give a shout out to a couple of our Patreons. I say a couple of our Patreons, they're our only Patreons. But a big shout out to Boomer and a big shout out to Graham. Thank you guys for subscribing to us on the Patreon. We really, really do appreciate it, and we appreciate all the support that you guys give us. Anyways, so are you ready to talk about some horror questions of the week?
Absolutely.
Okay, so for the last few episodes that we've been doing, we sort of brought back our unpopular opinion segment, but we've now run out of unpopular opinions again. So we're going back to our horror questions of the week. So once again, as per usual, I have two for you, Dave. First horror question of the week is, what is your favourite horror subgenre?
Horror subgenre? Maybe psychological.
Okay.
I don't know, that's a difficult one, because I have such a super, like, wide, varied taste in horror.
Yeah, you do.
I like a bit of everything, you know? I'm that guy at the buffets, you know, undoing his button on his trousers.
Dude, I take my trousers off at the buffet. Which is why I have criminal... No, I'm joking.
Fucking hell, Ian. Oh, Jesus.
No, Jesus has nothing to do with it.
True.
No, and I mean that's fair enough. Like I love all different types of horror as well. I'm not trying to sort of pigeonhole you into saying that you love just this one sort of genre. But for me, I love a good slasher film, so I'd probably go with slashers. Oh, yeah. I know you obviously your favorite film's Evil Dead, so I don't know, what would you class as Evil Dead? Would you class that as body horror?
Unintentional comedy?
I mean, only for the first one.
And then the second one is comedy?
Intentional comedy. Yeah. I rewatched the second one a couple of days ago.
Yeah, so did I, actually. I restarted rewatching what did I start? My brain just switched off.
Well, you have a think about it. You think about it, right? And we'll move on to the next question, okay?
Brain! Why?
Please reboot your brain in time for the rest, at least the discussion of this week's movie topic. But we'll go on. We'll ask the second question. So question number two.
Okay, cool. Let's go.
Was that the fucking Skype ringtone?
No, it's the Windows reboot noise.
Oh, that was the Skype ringtone.
No, that's do, do.
Yeah, okay. Do, 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 okay. Do, do. Now that you've done it, I can hear the difference. Okay, question number two. Is there a horror movie that has completely surprised you? One you had low or no expectations of that blew you away?
Babadook.
Okay. I'm gonna just put my two cents in here. This is forever going to be one of the things that we just always disagree on.
But do you know what? That's okay.
That is absolutely okay. Yeah. What is it about the Babadook then that blew you away?
It looked like a stupid B movie with a stupid looking monster, and it turned out to be something that had a lot more meaning behind it.
Okay, that's fair. For me, and I think you're going to like this answer, because I don't know why, but I went into it with tiny expectations. Evil Dead 2013.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like, a lot of people say that. So many people, like they're like, they don't want to watch it because they have this, like, feeling towards reboots or spiritual successors. Yeah. And it never turns out great.
And I think for a lot of people, the fact that, you know, we say Bruce Campbell's not in it, just keep watching to the end of those credits. But
fucking groovy.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the fact that Bruce Campbell's not featured heavily in it and things like that will put a lot of people off. But I was completely, and I remember getting halfway through the film, and I turned to Karen and I was just like, this film fucking rules.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be my one. But that's it. Thank you to everyone who's been answering our questions out there on the Twitter. Thank you, Dave, for listening to me talk.
I'm trying.
Thank you. Are you ready to talk about the movie then? I'm going to take that evil laugh as a yes. So we are talking about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
This is your spoiler alert.
What happened was true. The most bizarre and brutal series of crimes in America. This is the movie that is just as real, just as close.
Save me! You gotta make a stop!
Just as terrifying as being there. Even if one of them survives, what will be left? The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. After you stop screaming, you'll start talking about it.
This movie was released in 1974, directed by Toby Hooper, stars Marilyn Burns, Gunnar Hansen, and Edwin Neal. The IMDb plot is as follows. En route to visit their grandfather's grave, which has apparently been ritualistically desecrated, five teenagers drive past the slaughterhouse, pick up, and quickly drop, a sinister hitchhiker, eat some delicious home-cured meat at a roadside gas station, before ending up at the old family home, where they're plunged into a never-ending nightmare as they meet a family of cannibals who more than make up in power... What? Never mind. Who more than make up in power tools what they lack in social skills. The IMDb plots for these movies we're doing are getting worse.
Definitely. Sorry, I was taking a big swig of coffee there. Trying to reboot my brain, okay?
That's fine.
They really are. But I guess we're kind of not so much scraping the barrel with some of these films, but we're sort of delving towards the lower end a little bit.
I'm going to assume by that statement that you're maybe not the biggest fan of this movie.
I love this movie.
Oh dear, this is going to be a fun talk. Awesome. Yeah, the IMDb plots are getting a little bit out there, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a film that I've been wanting to do for a while, but you know, I've kind of been trying to spread out the big franchises because number one, I feel like if people aren't a big fan of the big franchises, I think it might just put someone off a little bit if you know I have 6 out of 10 episodes be all about, you know, Halloween and Elm Street and all that. So I've been trying to spread them out a little bit. So this is our first sort of delve into the world of TCM. How old were you when you first saw this?
Far too young. far too young. This is probably one of the contributing factors towards why I don't find horror scary anymore.
I mean, that would do it. That would definitely do it. I didn't see this when I was young. I think I was... I think I was about 18 when I first saw this.
I honestly think I was about 11.
Dude. This is not a movie for an 11-year-old.
Neither's Alien.
Well, that's true. Okay, so Texas Chainsaw Massacre then. You're obviously telling us how you love this film. Where does this film rank for you?
Oh, it's not very high up. I just really enjoy this film. I just think it's unintentionally funny.
Okay, I'm kind of glad you said that because I do have certain issues with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, this film has a lot of issues.
And, you know, I feel like a lot of people might not... We might piss some people off with this episode because Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a... let's not beat around the bush. It's beloved. People love this movie.
And, you know, power to them.
Awesome. Okay, so before we really do get into the sort of plot and everything, one last question I have for you. Leatherface, in terms of villains, where does Leatherface rank?
Not particularly high.
Okay, good, because he didn't rank particularly highly for me either.
Dude, he falls over and accidentally cuts himself with a chainsaw. What kind of horror bad guy does that?
Yeah. We'll get maybe into a little bit more about the motives of Leatherface and, you know, some of the things he does in this movie a little bit later on. But let's talk a little bit about some of the scenes. So we follow this group of five people. I'm immediately having a little bit of a brain fart, but yeah, we follow
five,
yeah, and they're going to visit one of their grandfather's graves. They end up in the old family home, but we get this little scene where they're sort of having a bit of a road trip beforehand, and they pick up this hitchhiker. Number one, would you pick up a hitchhiker?
No. Well, in the middle of Texas. Probably not. And, I mean, you know, I might do it outside of Bankery. But when it comes to, like, you know, a place like that...
I'm not one to shame someone on the way they look, but the way this guy looks, I definitely wouldn't be picking him up.
I think he looked that disturbing. I think he looked like a, you know, your average soul club goer.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. No, I just wouldn't be picking any hitchhikers up, full stop, regardless of whether they're in Texas or they're in Bunkery. But I guess I'm just a bit of an arsehole that way.
Okay, or cautious. That's the you could just be a cautious person.
It could just be.
There's nothing wrong with.
I just went straight for arsehole.
As you do.
So, right at the beginning, right? How annoying do you find Franklin?
He's horrific. He is absolutely horrific. He is the least relatable person in this entire film franchise. I find Leatherface more relatable than Franklin. Franklin just, I don't know what it is about him. He speaks and I just want to slap him.
I think it was the pitch of his voice. It just kind of like, when it's like nails on a blackboard, on a chalkboard. You know, it's
The way he plays is super hammed up.
Oh, yeah. It's bad. Let's just get straight into it. Let's talk about the acting in this film.
Or lack of it.
Because, I mean, is there, in your opinion, a good performance in this film? Like,
no.
Technically, acting-wise.
No. Nobody acts well in this film.
Yeah, you see, because, you know, obviously, like, I always put out the feelers for a movie before we cover anything on this show. And the amount of people that just have such love for Marilyn Burns and her acting, she obviously plays Sally, and I just found them all to be so irritating.
Yeah. I mean, one of the scenes that really just, I don't know, it just made me feel like, why the fuck am I watching this, is, you know, when Leatherface is sitting on the chair looking out the window.
Yeah,
he's licking his lip.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, right. It might be creepy if he licked his lip once.
Yeah.
But then he just keeps going... and it's like, what the fuck is that? Did they just sit him down and say, be creepy, and he did that?
I mean, maybe. I mean, yeah. I don't think there's a good acting performance in this entire film from any of the main five, from Leth... I mean... Can you even call what Gunnar Nielsen was doing acting?
No.
Like, he's just sort of running around, dancing with a chainsaw.
Making pig noises.
You know, the acting from, I would say, probably my favourite performance is The Hitchhiker.
you don't have a lot to pick from.
I mean, I think I'm clutching at straws, to be honest with you. But I would, if I had to pick one, I probably would go with The Hitchhiker. I think he probably plays it the best. But anyway, so we obviously... I don't think we need to go into too much more detail about how much we hate the acting, because I think if we carry on, it'll just start to become mean.
it's going to get pretty nasty.
So, how quickly after picking up The Hitchhiker would you have dropped him back off?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have picked him up in the first place.
But if you did?
It wouldn't have been my decision. I would have booted him the fuck out that door as quick as possible.
I think as soon as he pulls a knife, I'm just like, nope, that's enough for me.
He tries to sell me a fucking photo for $2 of me. That's it, he's out. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, like, who sells someone a photo of themselves? I can take a photo of myself.
The only time I've seen that was, like, on holiday in Paris with my family.
Was it at least, like, in front of the Eiffel Tower or something?
No, it was just on a random bridge.
See, because, like, I would have gotten it. Like, if you're somewhere and you're at, like, the Eiffel Tower or Notre Dame or or the Grand Canyon or, you know... any sort of big famous monument around the world, then fair enough, I get that. These people are literally in the back of their van.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Can I also just point out, there's really not much plot in this film. These are a group of people
you're giving it a little more credit by saying that.
This is a group of people who go to a house and die.
There's some people and then a man with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Who is then part of a family.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
That's your film. That's right there. Like, you literally can't go beyond that.
No, I can't disagree with you at all, because the only other thing is there's a brief scene. There's two brief scenes at the gas station and at the graveyard. But neither of which are really of any importance. We'll come back to the gas station, because obviously that does become important later on. But the whole sort of visiting their grandfather's grave sort of storyline is completely forgotten and is completely irrelevant to the rest of the film.
I mean, I watched it today and I completely forgot they were even going to a grave.
Yeah. I watched it 2 days ago, and then today when I was writing up some notes, when I was copying and pasting that IMDb plot, forgot they were going to a grave.
I mean, I watched it when you first told me I was doing the episodes a couple of weeks back now.
Yeah.
But rewatching it again, still, they were going to a grave? Cool.
Okay. I want to talk. Let's talk about some things that I feel maybe was slightly better. Let's talk about a couple of positives. Especially in this opening scene, I like the foreshadowing they have, you know, when they're talking about how they kill animals in the slaughterhouse. And I like how they sort of pay that off later in the film.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he starts talking about the piston they use to kill cattle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing.
The thing is, like, you know, we might be sounding quite glib and quite shallow about this, but there's no depth.
No, it's really not. It's not a film that's incredibly intelligent.
No, so some of these points we're probably going to go over really, really quickly, because there's no detail to them, which is definitely, for me, a big criticism of this film. Is this the first sort of movie that has, like, an ominous gas station scene?
I'm not sure. I mean, when I think of ominous gas station, I think of Resident Evil 2 for some reason.
I think this happened before then.
Oh, for sure.
I had a quick look, and I could be mistaken. I don't think I saw anything else that had, like, a famous gas station scene. And that's obviously went on to become such a trope of this sort of style of horror movie. I mean, you see gas station scenes in umpteen horror movies now. So I will give it that. If it truly was the first sort of movie that did that, then that's obviously something that's been mimicked in many horror movies.
But I mean, are you gonna give it credit for having a creepy gas station?
Yes, because I'm clutching at straws. I'm with you on this one. So I watched this film a couple of months ago, because I managed to get my hands on a DVD copy of it. So I watched it a couple of months ago, and I kind of didn't like it. Like, I kind of didn't enjoy it. I rewatched it a couple of days ago for the show, and I liked it. I do like this film.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a film you watch for any sort of, you know, intelligent plot or, you know.
Yeah, it's almost a film you maybe watch for nostalgic reasons, and maybe just for how important a movie it is. Because
maybe you just want to see a man with a chainsaw.
Maybe I do like
make pig noises.
Maybe I just want to see a whole family with really bad teeth.
Yeah, but you see that here.
Well, the dentists have been closed for a while. Anyway, so let's just jump to it. Let's jump to this first meeting with Leatherface.
Okay.
Sorry. Oh, I thought you had something to say there.
No.
Oh, okay.
I said okay.
Oh, I think you said okay. I thought you said wait.
Dude, this film has warped us.
Our brains have just got melted and gone to complete mush. So, Pam and Kirk go to a neighbor's house. Do we ever know why they're going to the neighbor's house?
They want to get petrol.
Okay. I must have missed.
Because he says, I'll swap my guitar for some petrol, and then when we get to the gas station, I'll bring them back some petrol.
That's how that works. Oh, dear. Okay, so how do you feel about the sort of reveal of Leatherface?
He just looks dumb. He just pops out a door, fucking leathery face, with a hammer, and it's like, all right, mate.
I will say, that sort of scene where he chasing Pam out the front door has obviously become a heavily gift scene.
Yeah.
So I don't know, am I giving a film credit because it's went on to have a really famous gif?
Maybe. You do like your gifs.
I do like my gifs. And that's how you say it.
Well,
yeah, I kind of agree with you. I don't
hold on.
Yes.
Hold on. The creator called it a gif, alright?
Yeah, but it's a gif.
I know it's a gif. But I'm just saying the creator called it a gif.
Well, the creator is wrong.
But he created it.
You can create something and still be wrong.
Okay, well, your name's not Ian, it's Ian.
Yes, you're okay?
You're wrong. You're wrong.
You're correct.
Just saying, give him some credit, because that's literally what it's supposed to be called.
Okay, okay. It's called a gif. Yeah, so I kind of agree with you about Leatherface. Leatherface is not a villain that ranks particularly highly for me in terms of... Not even likability. Well, likability, yeah, but just even sort of iconicness. I think, even if you're not a fan of slasher films, I think, you know, Freddy and Jason and Michael and Pinhead and Ghostface and so many more for me are just better villains.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're more developed. There's more of a character there to, you know, understand. There's a motive. There's, you know, just... some kind of personality.
Yeah, I mean, Leatherface is literally killing people out of fear, right?
He's a man with some meat on his face making pig noises. That's it.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
I mean, I'm probably looking a bit too deep into that, but yeah, he's... What do you think then about the kills here? Are they even killed yet? We get Kurt... Does he just get hit on the head with the mallet and then Pam gets hung on the hook?
Yeah. He gets malleted. I'm pretty sure he's dead after that.
Yeah, because we see his body sort of twitching, and again, that's then a callback. That's a callback to the slaughterhouse talk earlier when they were talking about the animals twitching and things.
And then the meat hook, and then the super confusing part where the other guy opens the freezer and she pops out and then goes back in. You don't really know if she's dead or not, or what's going on.
Yeah, I think the actress who played Pam has said in interviews previously that she likes to think her character survives and manages to escape. So it's definitely never definitively told to us whether or not she lives or dies.
She's locked in an airtight freezer for an extended period of time.
Well, all I'm doing is just echoing what the actress herself said.
Well, cool.
Who knows? The power maybe went out and the freezer stopped working.
They had a generator on.
Well, it's 1974, dude.
And the generator had an entire barrel of petrol pouring into it.
They were giving the petrol away to passers-by for guitars.
Well, no, they didn't.
Anyways, so we then get Sally and Franklin and the other one whose name I've forgotten. Because he's so unimportant.
The one who teases Franklin.
Yeah, I mean, let's just be honest. Like, why, like, Franklin, for as much as he's annoying, at least is a character that has some sort of presence in this film. And then you've got Sally, who obviously ends up being your final girl. I don't understand the purpose of the other three.
To be honest, I didn't understand the purpose of Sally. I mean, she... We'll get to the ending, but...
Yeah. So, what I will say, flashing back, I did... And this maybe sounds a bit ableist of me, but I did laugh when Franklin saw her rolled down the hill when he was taking a piss.
Right at the start. And, like, the cinematic shot of him rolling down the hill, it didn't need to be there. Like, I don't understand the point of it. Yeah. I don't even understand the point of him rolling down the hill.
Yeah, he doesn't discover anything. Like, if he got to the bottom of the hill and then discovered, you know, a dead body or, you know, one of Leatherface's masks or whatever, then at least then there's a purpose to it.
Fucking used chain for his chainsaw or something. I don't know.
Okay.
There's zero purpose for that.
Okay, well, why don't we talk about Franklin's death? Because Franklin is the only one who actually gets chainsawed to death.
Yeah.
And you don't see much.
No.
There's no gore in this film.
zero gore. There's the occasional blood spatter on the wall, and then, you know, what's her face is covered in blood at the end. Yeah. That's about it.
But I mean, obviously, we'll talk about that a little bit, especially when we get into the trivia. That's maybe more of a sort of budgetary thing. Yeah. Again, this is a movie that had an absolute minuscule budget. But the, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, when you think about it, people think this is one of the most sort of disturbing movies of all time, and there's nothing in this film that's disturbing.
No, I mean, the thought of it's pretty disturbing. Yeah,
but I mean, from what you physically see on camera,
no,
there's nothing here that's particularly disturbing. I feel like we're going to upset some diehard fans of this film because we're kind of just shitting all over it.
I didn't say I disliked the film.
No, neither did I. I like the film. I would go back and watch it. But again, that's another point I will get into. So like I say, so Franklin's the only one who gets the chainsaw death. We don't really get to see much. And then by that point, we're left with just Sally. And we get this sort of like cat and mouse scene when he's chasing her through the woods. Did you find this as hilarious as I did?
The amount of different camera angles they had for that scene. It's kind of jarring. How long it goes for.
It goes on forever. And it didn't even need to go on forever. Because, like, you get... Sally is not running fast.
No.
And you can see Leatherface in the background purposefully doing things to make sure he doesn't catch her. You can see him, like, just sort of having a chainsaw fight with a tree for a little bit and doing dance moves and twists and turns just so the chase scene can go on a little bit longer. Hilarious. Like,
he occasionally gets really close and then it cuts to the next camera angle. He's a little bit further.
Yeah. It's like that Monty Python thing where, like, they see the guy running in the distance and it plays the same thing 10 times.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he's there.
Have you seen Kung Pao?
I have not.
Oh, it's a really funny film. But there's a bit where the character's, like, running in the distance.
Yeah.
And the girl's like, Charles Edward, and he's like, I'm coming! And then every time it cuts to him, he's slightly further away.
Oh, awesome.
It's a bit like that.
But yeah, it's just hilarious, isn't it?
It's pretty dumb.
Yeah. Okay, so she makes it... She makes it to the house, and then she finds sort of these... What I thought were two corpses. I didn't realise the grandfather was alive.
Yeah.
Like, when she makes it into the house the first time, and then she thinks she's, like, asking these people for help, I'm just convinced that these are two dead people.
Pretty much.
Like,
it looks like it.
He doesn't look like he should be alive. No. And then she escapes the house. This is the worst family.
They're not very good at it.
They're not very good at their jobs of murdering people.
No.
So she makes it to the gas station, and then we sort of get the big twist, I guess, of the movie. And it turns out the gas station attendant is part of the same family, and so is the hitchhiker, and they're all part of the Sawyer family. How did this twist go for you? How did it hit for you?
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of pointless. Like, honestly, the way it just... He's like, oh, don't worry about it. There's no one outside. Ho-ho. Give me a second. And then comes in with a rope. And it's like, okay, cool.
There's no real suspense with it, is there?
Like, no, it just kind of happens, and she's just kind of forced to, and that's that. And then she gets knocked out by a broom.
Yeah.
She gets, like, slapped 87 times with a broom and is unconscious.
But it's with the bristle end. Like, at least if it was the handle end, then at least that's something hard. He's hitting her in the face with bristles.
Yeah.
Like, I just... Yeah, it's just, again, hilarious. And I feel at this point that the movie's kind of just very matter-of-fact. It's just walking you through the story. And, I mean, this is obviously, like we say, this is the big twist of the film. But it's very telegraphed. I mean...
It's just kind of... It's just...
Look, this film is now 46 years old. So we might be suffering from the fact that we've known this story for the entirety of a long time.
Yeah.
You know, so the film might be suffering a little bit from that. And that I don't think you can go into Texas Chainsaw Massacre fresh not knowing what's going to happen.
True. And also, I don't think you can go in expecting some kind of incredible visual horror movie. I mean, no. It's very aged. It has not aged well. But I'd imagine if I saw it back in the 70s, I'd probably be shitting my pants because there's nothing else out like it.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we do have to give it credit for. Like I say, I mean, the early 70s, the 70s was a very, it was a big sort of decade for horror. Everyone always talks about the 80s and how influential the 80s was. For me, the 70s was far more influential throughout the history of horror. If you look at some of the films that have come out there, like TCM, like The Exorcist, like Alien, like Halloween, you know, these are the films that really changed and shaped the direction that horror was going in the for the 80s, but before it.
I think it's... I think the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is one of the really, really important films from that decade that really shaped how horror is now. And I have so much respect to it for that.
Yeah.
Like, and, I very much respect this film.
Yeah. And of course, like, but that, again, like we've obviously been saying, that doesn't mean we can't find issues with it in an in-depth analysis. So, but... we can do that, like you say, respecting this movie. And I echo what you've just said there. I completely respect what this movie did in terms of shaping how horror was perceived and how it was going to look moving forward from 1974 onwards. But...
I mean, it might sound like I'm absolutely shitting on this film, but I really do, really do love this film.
Yeah, me too. But again, like I've spoken about it before in some previous films. You can really like a film, but know it's not a good film. And some
it
of the
doesn't even necessarily mean it's a bad film. It just means it has flaws.
Yeah. I mean, I've given lower ratings. I've given some horror films that we've done on the show low ratings, even though I've loved them. You know, perhaps I've loved them to the point where, you know, in my head it would be like a 9 or a 10, but I've maybe given the film like a 5 or a 6 because I know how flawed it is. So there is a difference, I feel like, between your level of an enjoyment of a movie and how you analyse the film.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, let's get back to this. So I want to talk about the dinner scene.
Okay.
Because this is kind of the pinnacle. This is the sort of big scene of the movie.
Can we talk about the bit just before?
Sure, go ahead.
So when they reveal that the grandpa's not dead.
Okay.
And grandpa gets some suck-suck.
Yeah, I kind of felt a little uncomfortable.
I don't know. I just thought that scene was just super, just unnecessary.
Okay. How so?
Like, why did the grandpa even need to be there?
I don't understand why he's alive, to be honest. Like, they could have just left him as a corpse. And the scene, for me, would have been just as effective as the other three. This is a cannibal family, so if you wanted to have someone sucking blood out of her finger, you could have just had Leatherface do it.
Absolutely, but I think... you know, the whole dinner scene as well, like, parts of it are just so unnecessary, but, you know, Resident Evil 7 took such a big influence from that.
Yeah.
That particular scene.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of difficult for me. This is probably one of the scenes I actually like in the film. I think the scene is really manic. You know, you've got the family, and you've got the hitchhiker there, and, the I can't remember the sort of father figure's name in it, and then you've got
the barbecue man,
and then you've got Leatherface, and they're all sort of just making noises, and you know, you're getting a lot of noise in your head, so I sort of feel like it's really manic, and I think that kind of works for the scene.
But then it cuts to, like, her face, and you can hear, like, pneumatic drills in the background for some reason.
Yeah. This is probably one of the few scenes that I do kind of empathize a little bit with Leatherface as well, because he's kind of being abused by the other two a little bit. But that goes really quickly. And like you say, you've got the grandfather there who we didn't know was alive. I don't feel is even necessarily to be a plot point. I don't think him being there makes this any scarier or any more effective.
No.
What I will say is, that scene where they cut her finger, they actually cut her finger.
Really?
Yeah, there was supposed to be the knife. There was supposed to be a little tube behind the knife with blood coming out of it, but the tube failed, so they just cut her finger.
Sick.
So, like, there was a lot of her actual blood floating around that scene.
Fuck's sake. So that grandpa actually sucked on her bloody finger.
Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit more about how some of the actors were treated on set in a little bit. But we're just going to... Let's just quickly wrap this sort of up with the final escape. Because I know you've got some thoughts about this.
The final escape is just such a mess. It's it's so bad, and like there's so many like random characters that have absolutely nothing to do with it who are just there and then not, like the truck driver.
I want to talk about the truck driver. It's not even that I want to talk about him. It's just the scene where she gets picked up by the car and they completely forget about the truck driver and he just goes running off in the opposite direction.
He spanners Leatherface right in the pus. Leatherface falls over and cuts his leg with his chainsaw.
Yep.
Rolls around in pain for a bit and then she jumps in the back of that car and they fuck off. That's it.
Yeah. Another little fun fact about actors being amused. So he was actually like, he didn't actually cut his leg with a chainsaw. There was a metal plate underneath his clothes. But the, the friction on it caused the metal plate to heat up and he burned his leg. So his screams of pain were real.
That's why he didn't sound like a pig in that scene.
That's why it sounded like actual screams in that scene. This is also, if I had just picked her up, the noises that's coming out of her would annoy me so much I would drop her straight back off.
Yeah, fuck that.
Like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't work for me.
No. The entire chase. I don't understand how this is, like, the epitome of Final Girl.
Yeah, Sally gets a lot of love for being one of the sort of best final girls. I don't see it.
She doesn't seem like this amazing, empowered, powerful woman.
She seems like this woman who's just managed to escape. She doesn't get one up on anyone.
She gets out by the skin of her teeth. Yeah. And that's it.
She does jump through a couple of windows.
But but that kind of window, you try and jump through that, you're just gonna get wood in your face.
Yeah. But like I say, she doesn't get one up. She doesn't, you know, none of the family get it. They all survive. So, yeah, she just manages to escape with her life, barely.
Yeah. So there's it's not even her cunning or, you know, her abilities that gets her out of that situation.
Yeah, she just managed to get free.
It's the fact that Leatherface is just an absolute dingus.
Okay, right. I will say, obviously, we've got the really iconic bit at the end with Leatherface dancing around with the chainsaw.
Oh, yeah.
That image is so iconic, though.
Yeah, it's something that really, I don't know, I'd say it's one of the highlights of the film, but...
That 3-second clip.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, a couple other things. Let's talk about a couple other things. So I've obviously talked about there was no gore. How did you feel about the overall use of effects in this film, of special effects
There wasn't a lot of them.
There was barely anything.
I mean, there's the scene where he's supposed to be butchering the guy on the table in front of what's-her-face on the meat hook. I'm forgetting names already. I had them written down.
All I can remember is Pam, Kirk... Oh, no, actually, Pam, Kirk, Franklin, and Sally. I can't remember the other... I think it's Bob.
Ugh, fucking Bob.
There's always a Bob.
But it's just like... He's like chainsawing the guy, apparently. But there's no blood, and he's not pulling off any limbs or anything like that. And then it cuts. You can see the guy's still fully intact.
Yeah, yeah. So there's not much in the way of that. I did like how Leatherface had 3 different masks.
Yeah.
I liked his pretty mask that had lipstick in.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was the most disturbing out of all of his masks.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely by far the most disturbing out of all his faces.
It's not even that it's like uglier or creepier. It's just like a pretty weird skin face making pig noises at you.
Yeah. So you're talking
The effects as well were really inconsistent.
Yeah, they were.
Like, at the end, she's blonde, she's got a bit of blood on her face, then it cuts to a close-up, and she's absolutely soaked in blood, and it cuts to her again on the truck, and she's not again.
Yeah, yeah. Real inconsistencies here. I mean, again, we're probably talking about things like budgetary constraints, and they've obviously gone back and filmed certain things at different times, and they've just obviously thrown it together and put it out there, but it's not consistent in terms of...
It just kind
of
feels like they missed out important parts of the film.
It's very jarring.
It feels like there's some kind of section of the film that's not there.
Yeah.
That's maybe been cut because maybe they just couldn't do it.
Yeah, very possibly. Very possibly. Okay, well, a couple other things that I want to talk about. One of the which is the sort of filming conditions which they filmed this in. So they obviously filmed this right at the... And this will go hand in hand. I was actually going to save this for trivia, but I'm going to talk about it now. And it's how the sort of general conditions were for the actors whilst filming this. So they filmed this at the height of Texas summer. So unbearable heat we're talking about here. Yeah. We've already talked about how Sally actually cut her finger in that scene, but I mean, there's an absolute slew of other instances of actors hurting themselves and some questionable things happening. So like that scene where they get into the house, all those animal bones you see are real animal bones.
Sick.
So none of them are actual props. The scene where Pam is hooked up to is put on the hook, she could only actually be put on the hook for 1 minute at a time because they were literally using maxi pads to stop the hook cutting into her.
Holy shit.
Like,
dude, the 70s, man, the way they treated actors and actresses in these films,
this isn't even like, that's not even the half of it. So like, I made a list in the trivia, but I'm just going to go through it just now. So Marilyn Burns, obviously, who plays Sally, she cut her, that scene where she's running through the forest, she got so many cuts and wounds in that scene. Most of them are legit, like, they're not effects that you see on her. Most of them are actual cuts. She had 2-inch thorns that she needed to get medically removed from her scalp.
Fuck's sake.
She sprained her ankle jumping out of a 2-story window. They literally dropped crystallized sugar glass on top of her, a pane of crystallized sugar glass.
Jesus.
Gunnar Hansen, Leatherface, he had 3-inch platforms on to make himself seem taller, but that meant that he had to sort of bend over to get underneath the door frame, and so apparently he received significant blows to his head, some of which resulted in a concussion. And then Edwin Neal, who plays the hitchhiker, that scene at the end where he gets run over by the truck, actually suffered burns to his body because he was lying on black asphalt in the Texas summer heat.
Jesus Christ.
So these actors were not treated well. There's also I also read a story how because their budgets were so low, they couldn't afford to change clothes. They didn't have multiple costumes. They literally had one costume for the entire film. This film was filmed over 4 weeks. So Leatherface, people would avoid eating with him during lunch because he smelled so bad.
Yeah.
Like, fuck's sake. They literally had to wear the same clothes in 100 degree heat for 4 weeks.
Give it a little spritz, you know?
I don't think even a little spritz is going to help at this point.
True.
Is there anything else about this film that you want to talk about?
I think, like, Not to the same degree as something like Troll 2, but I think parts of this film are some of the most hilarious, unintentionally funny parts in horror.
Yeah.
Like, the licking his lips at the window bit.
Yeah.
That bit. I can't help but just pee myself laughing at that. It's like, if I'd only seen that scene, I would think the film's like horror spoof.
Yeah, yeah.
I just, I don't know, I think this film's a really important one. It's it introduced so much more, like, disturbing stuff to horror.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of horror before that was, oh, it's a vampire, or, oh, it's a werewolf. This is like, it's a fucking man with a chainsaw, and he's going to cut you.
Yeah. Do you prefer any of the sequels to this? I don't know how many of the sequels you've seen.
I honestly can't really remember. It's been so long since I've seen them all.
I think this is one of the occasions where the remake is actually quite good.
I'm still yet to watch the remake.
I think I've seen it once a while ago, but it does seem to get a bit of love across the social medias. And if I remember correctly, I remember enjoying it. So yeah, I think it's got a pretty all-star cast as well, which is unusual for a horror film, especially a remake. One other point I had is the fact that there's virtually no score in this film. And I think that works to its benefit. I think if you had music or a score playing in the background of this film, it would have just pushed it over the edge of being ridiculous.
Yeah, I completely, completely agree.
Okay, cool. As always, we sort of throw out the movies that we're going to do to the Twitter to get some opinions before we start on it. So we got a couple of opinions back. One person, I can't remember who now, got in touch and says that they think this managed to be really effective without showing any gore. We agree that it didn't show any gore. I don't know if we agree how effective it is. But one of the points that we got in that I actually do agree with, and this is from Curtis from Two Guys and Some Horror podcast, he thinks this is actually... He likes the film, like we do, but he thinks it's got really low rewatchability, and I really kind of agree with that, because I don't think I want to go and watch this film now for quite a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a film like... There's some like really intelligent horrors out there that you might want to watch multiple times, and just because you'll notice lots of different things. There's no depth here to this.
Yeah.
No. It's a man that has a chainsaw, has fucking saw.
Okay.
And that's the film.
Cool. Anything else before we move on to the trivia?
Hit me with the trivia.
Okay, let's do some trivia.
Movie trivia.
So, this film, the reported budget for this film, again, had some sort of mixed reporting. So, budget was anywhere from between $80,000 to $300,000. So, I mean, tiny budgets.
Yeah.
But in its initial run, grossed worldwide $30.8 million. So, that's a pretty good return.
If you look at the original marketing for this film... It's making out to be this like true story, absolute just bloodbath.
Yeah, actually, that's another thing that I want to mention. They made out that this was a true story. This is not a true story.
Correct.
this has some links, and they've taken some things from the Ed Gein.
Ed Gein.
Who technically wasn't a serial killer, if I'm correct. I think he killed two people and was a grave robber.
Yeah.
I'm not overly familiar with the Ed Gein story, but they took some links to that. But there's certainly the whole Leatherface and Chainsaw and Cannibal Families is completely not true.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Yeah, they definitely tried to play on that. But I think that was clever of them to try and play on that.
See, the thing is, when they're taking inspiration from someone like Gein, why is it set in the South when Gein's from Wisconsin?
Yeah. I think that was another thing that I picked up on when I was doing the research for this as well, as another thing why it wasn't, you know, wasn't close to that story.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we hear, I mean, you think of big actors now and you think that they are all paid a ridiculously large amount of money. When me and Nico did the Die Hard movie, we talked about how Bruce Willis was paid $5 million for that film. Well,
holy shit.
Most of the actors in this film were paid in the region of $800.
Wow.
And so I wanted to see how much 800 was in like 2020 compared to 1974. So that works out at approximately $3,500 in today's money. So that's nothing.
Not a lot of money.
That is nothing. And that was Gunnar Hansen who got that money. Some of the actors got paid less, and some of them got paid as little as $400.
That's insane. Like, that's think that, well, even when you have a budget that big, it's not a big budget.
Yeah.
But what did they spend the money on?
What did they spend them? It certainly wasn't air conditioning.
It wasn't air conditioning. It wasn't their costumes, and it wasn't the acting. Like, what did they spend it on?
Who knows? Who knows? I sort of lost my place there, but so films normally before they get released, they have a working title. This movie had the working title Head Cheese.
Head Cheese.
Head Cheese.
Okay.
A little fun fact for you. Next up, right, what country do you think banned this film?
Germany.
Germany, you're right. This film was banned in Germany, apparently because it under the category of youth endangering media.
Juice endangering media.
They apparently, over the years, tried to get several different cuts of the movie to get a release, but it wasn't until 2011 that the full ban was lifted. So Germany have only had the Texas Chainsaw Massacre for 9 years.
That's insane.
It was also banned in Finland, but they lifted their ban in 1999. Just insane.
You mean they finished their ban?
Yay! I see what you did there. And finally, Edwin Neal, who played the hitchhiker, claims that he was an old army veteran. He claimed that making this movie was a worse experience than serving in Vietnam.
Wow. Yeah, that's a bold statement.
I also read another story about how Gunnar Neal's... So Franklin, obviously, we've talked about how annoying a character he was, but the actor who played him was a method actor and stayed in character between takes.
Oh, no.
So he was so annoying, and combining that with the really terrible conditions they were all in, the fact that they were all smelly and it was really, really hot and things like that, Gunnar Nielsen has says that he literally wanted to kill him.
I mean, looking at you were talking about Edward Neal and him talking about how terrible it was to be there. He literally didn't do another film for 12 years after that.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine having such a bad, a harrowing experience, maybe not a bad experience, but harrowing experience on a full movie set would put you off going back to do that for a while.
Yep. But, you know, he did a lot of like voice acting and he's in a lot of video games and stuff as well.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Hats off, Edwin Neal. Let's get into the ratings then and get into our final thoughts. So, IMDb rated this at 7.5 out of 10. Metacritic scored it at 75. The Rotten Tomatoes critics scored it 88% fresh, with the Rotten Tomatoes audience scoring it at 82%. So, Dave, out of 10, what would you rate the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
It's going to piss some people off, but 5.
5. 5 out of 10. Now, I really struggled with rating this film. We've just talked pretty much for the best part of an hour about how many things are done incorrectly or poorly this film.
Yeah.
But we've also talked about how important this film is.
Absolutely. And, I mean, not everything that's important is great.
Yeah. But I think for me, how important this film is and what it did for shaping horror is a little bit more important than some of the flaws that we've talked about. So I'm still going to give it a favorable score. I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair one.
Okay, so if you combine our scores with all of the critics' score, that gives the Texas Chainsaw Massacre an average score of 7.6 out of 10. It makes it place 21st on movies that we have covered previously on the show. It puts it one place above Scream and one place below Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Damn.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil, better than the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Which is actually kind of funny, because there is a Texas Chainsaw Massacre sort of spoof scene in that. but awesome. Any final thoughts then about this film?
I mean, right. Going by today's standards, if you were literally, if this film had no legacy and you watched it, you'd think this is the most terrible horror movie you've ever seen. But based on its legacy, it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah.
Like, you see where a lot of, you know, other horror movies have taken influence and how the spooks happen, you know? How the horror actually happens. And it is one of the most important horror films of its time. Yeah.
This is not a horror film for a casual viewer.
No.
Like, if someone you know says, recommend some horror films to me, I don't watch that many horror films, you're not going to recommend Texas Chainsaw Massacre to them. They'll have heard of it, They'll know what it is, but they don't know the flaws with this movie. This is a film for horror fans because of the things that Dave has just said, because of the legacy of the film, how it's went on to influence so many other films. But it's not one for the casual viewer. This film has so many flaws, and it does so many things just poorly. It just does things poorly. And yes, it's obviously constrained by having a teeny tiny budget, but we've even talked about like continuity things that really do kind of just take you out of the moment. You know, there's also issues with, at times it's laughably bad, but it's a hugely important movie. Obviously, you know, neither one of us was alive. 1974, we're not that old. So we obviously don't understand, you know, maybe fully the influence it had back in 1974, but you know, obviously we can imagine, we can read up on things like that. By today's standards, this is a really, really poor film, but it has to be respected for what it did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's what horror wouldn't be the way it is now if it wasn't for this film.
Yeah, I completely agree. Okay, so that's it. That's all we've got time for in this week's episode. Dave, thank you very much for listening.
You're welcome.
If no one's listened to our top five horror video games episode, I made a boo boo at the end and thanked Dave for listening. So it's just a running gag. It's just a running gag we're gonna have now.
Well, thank you for making a talkie.
Yeah, I think we're getting kind of good at these talkies now.
Huh?
don't you think we're getting good at these? This is the 57th one. It's more than that because we've had that many bonus episodes on all the Patreon shows as well.
I mean, how many have I done?
This will be, I actually have that number. This will be your 11th show.
Holy shit, how have I done 11?
This will be your 11th. You want me? I can go through them for you if you like.
It's okay, I believe you.
You believe me? Okay, cool. You did, when you first came on, you did like 6 in a row.
Yeah.
So you did like a load at the start, and then, you know, we got Lucy to do a couple, then we got Lindsay and Nico on board, so then we were able to sort of space you out a little bit better. And right at the start, where it was just you and Lucy, I was like, right, we've got to do like 6 episodes.
I'm in.
but yeah, so thank you very much for coming on. Up next on the show, we are going to have Lindsay on the show. It's going to be another top five. It's going to be a top five horror comedies we're talking about.
Oof. That sounds like a good one. Lindsay's always really good on the show, though.
Lindsay is fucking awesome. Like, she's just one of those... You guys are all awesome. Please don't, like... anything I'm about to say does not take away from anyone else. Lindsay, though, she just has this talent that, you know, she's going to have some good shit to say. She's going to have some really good shit that I can quote. Yeah, because obviously for every show that we put out, I usually end up putting like a 30-second advertisement, and they are the easiest things to put together when Lindsay's on the show.
I mean, like, with your rotating sort of co-hosts, you've kind of got a bit of everything. You got like the more analytical side with like Lucy, you've got the just dumbass side of me just talking about just stupid shit, you know. Yeah. Nico's pretty good at the sort of, he's very to the point.
Yeah, Nico doesn't mess around. There's no, and I like that. That's one of the reasons.
Absolutely.
Reasons why I got him onto the show, because he has a lot of good opinions on his things as well, and he has a lot of stuff he wants to say about some films. So yeah, Nico's great. Yous are all great. I don't know what I'm bringing to the table yet, though. It's 57 episodes, and I still don't know.
Not to blow smoke up your ass, but everyone I've talked to who's been on your show has talked about how comfortable you make it feel.
That's cool.
And with like podcasts and stuff, it's a very high pressure sort of, you know, it's not the most relaxing situation.
It's absolutely not.
Speaking to you is just like speaking to a friend about something you like.
Oh, that's so nice. I must say, I was quite happy with my own performance on the live show specifically.
Because, yeah, for sure.
You because really at least with these things, if we fuck things up, we can go and cut them out, and you know, you guys, the listeners, will never ever know that this episode actually took 6 hours to record. No, it didn't, but the live show I was kind of worried about, because I do sometimes tend to stumble over some words and things, and I was really worried that I was going to just make a bit of a shit show of it, but we kept it going. It was pretty smooth, to be honest. Apart from some of my mic issues, but it went pretty well. Having said that, I've completely just forgot. Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that I will continue to spread my butt cheeks for you to blow smoke up my but we can do that once we stopped recording. Okay.
Awesome. Oh, shit, we're still recording, eh?
We're still recording. I haven't done the goodbye. This is the thing. I'm so bad. This is the one bit I'm bad at. I'm so bad at just finishing the episode. Like, we stopped talking about the movie like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably likely to say something like, thanks for watching.
I might say that in about 3 seconds. So thanks for watching. Yeah, but anyway, Dave, thank you so much for joining in with me for another episode.
No problem, buddy.
Thank you to everyone who downloaded and listened to this episode. Don't forget, you can find us on any major podcasting platform. Facebook at Screams Behind. No, it's not. Twitter at Screams Behind. Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube is at Behind the Screams Podcast. Dave, where can they find you on the streams?
The fucking Twitch. twitch.tv/wookie606. I'm streaming most evenings. Just give me a follow, you'll see what's going on there. Not all of you guys will like the horror stuff, but there is also the YouTube shit, so.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I haven't even brought that up at any point yet. So we, for those who don't know, Dave hosts Spooky Saturdays on our YouTube channel now.
Sir.
You do indeed, which is awesome, because I've been wanting to sort of maintain something on the YouTube channel a bit more, but it's one of the sort of strands of the show that I kind of neglected a little bit. You know, but it's great that you've sort of you've taken up that mantle, and you're now, like I say, once a week going to do some spooky horror games for us.
Yeah, I mean, other people can sort of tag in and stuff if they need to. There's a lot of people sort of in our group that love horror games and, yeah, you know, love playing them, and it's a very easy way for us to just bash out even more fucking content for you guys.
I've spoken about this previously. I challenge anyone to find a podcast. Obviously, you get like daily sort of like news podcasts out there, but I challenge anyone to find another horror or even just movie review podcast that's putting out content as much as we are right now. We're releasing our main episodes every 5 days. We've also got the bonus top 5 episodes coming out, which means sometimes you're getting an episode every 2 days. And then we've also got the Patreon specials as well, which you've got 3 bonus series. You've got mini reviews, you've got our non-horror reviews, and you've got our horrible history show as well, where we talk about this week in horror history and we talk about some horror news as well. So I don't think there's a horror podcast that's putting out as much content as we are, and now we've got the YouTube channel as well. So if you don't like this show, you are hating your life. But if you do like the show, thank you for liking us. But yeah, there's tons out there, but let's get out
of
here.
If you do like the show, we're sorry.
If you don't like the show, we're sorry. If you like the show, we're also sorry. But yeah, okay, let's get out of here, because we're going on a little bit now. Like I say, subscribe to the Patreon. I've just listed all those bonus content you can have. You also get shout outs, you can appear on the show at the top tier, but the tiers start from just £1 a month, and we really do appreciate any support that you guys can give us. But until next time, that's it. So thank you for downloading and listening to us, and we hope you will join us next time on Behind the Screams.